Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. So here's a topic that hasn't been talked about for a while on the podcast. You know, as I say that, I recognize that if you are a member of the Patreon channel, I have discussed this multiple times over the last few years because it's an ever-evolving situation. And so on the news side of things, yes, it is definitely something that we've been keeping an eye on. And so you've heard the updates on Patreon if you're part of that. That said, I can't really remember how long ago it was that me and Kellen did an episode on bird flu. It was sort of at the peak of when it was being discussed in mainstream media because of just the frequency with which farms were having to cull their flocks of chickens. There were some rapid developments and concerns around the spread and growth of bird flu. And then after that, it seemed like every few months, maybe every 5 to 6 months, there would be some new update, some change to it that would further concern scientists, right? It would spread outside of birds and into, you know, mammals like seals or cats. It continued to spread to places where it previously hadn't been. It would infect, you know, humans here and there. Humans would die from it here and there. Then last year, I believe it was, it spread to pigs. And I'm a little bit sketchy on the timeline here. Again, it could have been 2 years ago now. Time is just flying by. But yeah, at some point it infected pigs, which is a huge concern because of something called reassortment. Pigs genetically are quite close to humans. And so there's a potential if it goes to pigs and spreads within pigs that at the same time, human influenza could also infect that pig, and that could grow or mutate into a version of the flu that could spread easily in humans. As a quick sort of summary or a catch-up, bird flu currently cannot spread between humans. It does not go human to human. I don't know all the details of why that is, but basically it doesn't establish in the respiratory tract in a way that allows for humans to transmit it between each other. Luckily, in the end, I believe they found that it was not moving between pigs. It was going from birds or other infected mammals to pigs, but it hadn't mutated in a way that was transmitting between them either. Well, this new paper that just came out, this is an article summarizing the paper in Scientific American, and it talks about research that was done showing that cow udders are, much like pigs, a breeding ground for reassortment, which is something that they hadn't known before. Bird flu has begun moving between cows or to cows quite frequently. This was a development over the last year or so as well, where cows all over the country and the world were starting to get infected with bird flu. This was a concern because it also means that it had the potential to be in the milk, which is why, one reason why the CDC highly recommends not drinking raw milk, always making sure to drink pasteurized milk, because it is proven that that kills the virus. So anyway, the researchers, what they did was they took cells from cows' udders, and they tested the ability to, for that udder, to both receive the bird flu virus as well as human influenza virus, and tested to see if they could receive them both at the same time, which to me sounds a little sketchy. I'm hoping that it was done in a highly protected and, well-suited lab for the cause. But essentially, they wanted to see if it could, you know, coexist in the same space, which would allow for the virus to mutate. Now, the changes up to this point that have allowed it to infect pigs and to infect cows and to move between different bird species and to spread so much is due to mutations that have taken place already. Likely there have been numerous mutations, and they've been trying to track the different types of virus as it's spread. They say that the risk of this taking place, of both the influenza, the human influenza and the bird flu, you know, reassorting inside of a cow's udder and mutating into something that could infect humans and then becoming effective enough to spread between humans effectively, is low. The risk is low. That said, the risk grows. With every new cow that's infected, the chances that that cow also gets human, the human flu, the chances of a mutation increase. Experts say that pretty much any time a virus mutates to become, you know, spreadable or transmittable between humans, that took place because of a rather rare event, a low probability event, but that still happens. And because of the world that we live in, the way that we've set up our industries, it makes it more and more likely, because we're throwing, you know, we're creating this system where cows are tightly packed. Other animals are having more contact with each other. Humans are having more contact. We're not careful about, you know, the way that we necessarily clean all of our equipment and the PPE that we're wearing and making sure that sick people aren't going to work and those types of things. So I'll just read a couple of paragraphs from this article, and then we'll touch on a few more updates in the space. So it says, the prospect of an outbreak of avian influenza among dairy cattle triggering a pandemic in humans is one step closer than scientists thought. New research shows that cow udder cells can be infected with human flu and bird flu viruses at the same time, which means the viruses could exchange genes and generate novel strains that would be better adapted to infecting people. The risk of this happening is low, but if it does, the consequences could be severe, experts say. I'm not sure if you guys remember, there was once upon a time that a pretty rare, low probability event happened in which this virus adapted and, you know, in China and started spreading. And anyway, it caused a bunch of problems around the world. Little known event in global history. It was called COVID-19. Anyway, just an example of the fact that this type of thing can occur. It goes on to say later, virologists have been concerned about bird flu for decades because it has such a high mortality rate in humans. Globally, between 2003 and May 2025, there have been 976 reported cases in humans, almost half of which were fatal. Fortunately, H5N1 hasn't historically spread easily between people, but many researchers are concerned that if it keeps circulating in cattle, it might adapt to better infect mammals in general. It's really important to stop the virus being able to spread from cow to cow, because as it does, it adapts to be better at infecting cows, says Eleanor Gaunt, a virologist at the University of Edinburgh. If the virus is adapting to replicate in cows, it's probably also improving its ability to replicate in humans and therefore increasing pandemic risk. In 2020, we were not well suited to, you know, we were not well prepared for a pandemic. And you would think, after going through what the world did, that we might feel more prepared, that more precautions might have been taken, that, you know, we would commit to being ready the next time around. And it feels like we are not even a tenth as prepared now, at least here in the U.S., where I could now just completely imagine the government ignoring it as it moved through and killed hundreds of thousands or millions of people. And I'm not just referring to, you know, the avian influenza. It could be any disease or any virus that does this. We've got RFK Jr. running the health department into the ground, you know, rejecting the efficacy of vaccines and spewing all sorts of other pseudoscience and science denialism. That's terrifying. I literally shudder to think of what the response would be if we were to go into another pandemic. Now, fortunately, you know, while this article talks about half of cases being fatal, it does seem like at least the most recent strains that have moved through humans have been less dangerous on the mortality side. So since 2024, February of 2024, so about a year and a half, a little over a year and a half, there have been 70 cases in the U.S. of bird flu in humans. It talks about, you know, the sources where these came from was primarily 41 of those 70 came from dairy herds. So cattle are infecting humans. 24 of them came from poultry farms and other culling operations. So if, you know, if they detected it in the group and they culled that group of birds, then people involved in the actual culling process got the disease. Two are from other animal exposure, not sure what that is. And three came from unknown sources of exposure, which is a little bit concerning as well. Now, of those 70 cases, there was one death. And that one death is tragic. That was someone that was in Louisiana. But statistically, showing that only one of 70 died is great. And that could mean that either the flu mutated in such a way that it became less deadly to humans, or it could mean that we are testing much better than we had previously. You know, half of the cases of bird flu previously resulted in death, and it could just be that there was many, many more cases of bird flu that we didn't know how to or didn't have the resources for testing appropriately. So it's a relatively good sign as far as death rate goes, but a mutation could do anything to that. That's sort of the roulette, the gamble that you take in not knowing what direction any sort of mutation will go. Now, bird flu has kind of fallen out of the mainstream news, and I mean, it makes sense given, you know, broadly gesturing around and looking at the state of the world. There are many other things that are sort of taking priority for mainstream media to be discussing. And that said, mainstream media is not always discussing the items that are perhaps most pertinent. But that said, there are some articles here, more on the local side, that are showing that mass cullings are still happening. Bird flu is still spreading wildly throughout bird populations around the world. So this is specifically just a couple of articles from here in the U.S. One of them is titled, "Avian Flu Forces Jefferson County Poultry Farm to Cull 3 Million Birds." This was in Wisconsin. And this took place just last week, at least last week at the time of recording this episode. Which, by the way, hopefully these episodes are not seeming outdated. I try and just stay ahead in case I get sick or in case whatever. So I'm about a week ahead on recording episodes. Sometimes I will mix things up and record something the day before or same day and try and post it so that, you know, if there's something highly relevant and urgent, it can be posted immediately. But many times, yeah, I'm about a week behind. What I may do, sorry, I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but what I may do is start to actually record, you know, one day ahead or 2 days ahead is all so that things can be more immediately relevant. And then maybe I will have a back, you know, reserve catalog of some episodes that are a little more evergreen that don't require so much urgency so that if I get sick, I can post those instead. So that's, you know, that's an option that may be something that I consider doing as well. But I'd love your feedback on sort of the vibe of these and if they feel outdated by the time you're hearing them. For something like this, you know, a week difference is not going to make a huge difference to the topic itself. All right, anyway, I digress. 3 million birds, these are chickens that were culled in Jefferson County, Wisconsin. Meanwhile, more than 400,000 turkeys were killed in response to bird flu outbreak in South Dakota. And it said in this one that ducks were identified as the carriers. And just the beginning of this article says the number of turkeys killed at South Dakota farms in response to recent detections of avian influenza has risen to 419,650 and counting, continuing the state's status as the national epicenter of this season's outbreak. Meanwhile, South Dakota State veterinarian Beth Thompson said blue-winged teal, a species of duck, has been identified as carriers of this season's virus. John Cooper, a former U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agent and former state game, fish, and park secretary, said it makes sense that the state would find itself combating bird flu early this year if the teal are carrying it. Teal are traditionally our first migrators. So, yeah, not only, I mean, they're basically saying this is the first migratory birds are the ones that are bringing it. Who knows if that will continue with later waves of migration. Detections this early in the fall season are troubling, according to Thompson. The peak avian influenza seasons typically happen later during the fall and spring migrations of wild birds, which can carry the virus without becoming sick. And so that is scary. There are birds like this, these ducks that don't get sick from the virus, but they do carry it. And so that's how it's getting spread around the world. And yeah, to be seen how this could affect the Thanksgiving in the U.S. turkey supply. All right. Look, with this topic, it always feels a little bit weird to talk about it because it's a threat that is always kind of looming, but it's one that will either happen or it won't. And I think the focus, instead of basically just saying like this one specific flu could mutate and could cause a pandemic globally to rival COVID-19, you know, to potentially be worse than COVID-19. Rather, I think the focus should be on the fact that we are living in such a way that the probability of continuing pandemics is increasing. I do not think that COVID-19 will be the last or the worst pandemic that we face as a global community. This will happen again. This is the one, you know, bird flu is the one that's being most closely monitored, which may mean that it ends up being the one that isn't the threat, right? COVID-19 was completely unknown and came out of nowhere, seemingly. And that could happen again at any time with any virus. Bird flu serves as a good example of how these mutations can happen, how it can change over time, and where the risks can come from. But in a world with, and especially in a country here in the U.S., with declining resources to be able to manage the risk, meanwhile, an increasing probability of that risk taking place, we're really setting ourselves up for potential disaster at some point. I don't know about you, but after COVID, I made sure to stock up on masks, to stock up on gloves and, you know, hand sanitizer, those types of things, just in case we do ever face something like this again in the near future. Okay, thanks for joining me today. Goodbye. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.